Joining you live tonight, right here, around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, and the transmitting jewel and the giant of the world. We're glad to be here with you tonight. Got a great program. If you just happen to be tuned in tonight, you're very fortunate. We're going to preach and teach on something that's very controversial, as usual, but we're going to prove that there were two Jerusalems, one in the south and one up in the north. You might be surprised, but if you'll stay tuned, you're going to be informed. We'll be right back after the song. Call a neighbor and tell them Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's call is on.
My heart is now established. I will not be afraid. Pray.
Yahweh, blessed is the man that fears Yahweh. You know, the Bible says, and this is very true, ladies and gentlemen, that if you love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you're going to put every effort into keeping His commandments. And the Bible says that His commandments are not grievous. And we're going to go right into the scriptures tonight, and we're going to tell you exactly how to fear Yahweh, how to love Him, how to keep His commandments, how to work while it's light, and to blessed be the name. That's the main thing here tonight, is to bless His holy name in obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, is something that a lot of people don't want to do today because they haven't been taught that it is necessary. So we're gonna preach the truth to you tonight about the two Jerusalems. According to the Tanakh, there were two locations in the Bible. One was inhabited by the Amorites, and I'm gonna lay you a gestalt, and then we're gonna go back and study the scriptures on the text, because we don't want you to miss the scriptures. So it's going to be a very intense, comprehensive, and in-depth study. One by one, we're going to knock down the pins of opposition to those traditionalists who believe, and I'm going to show you something right up front, that believe that the Jerusalem present, the one that is called Mount Zion. Now, it can be called that, but that don't necessarily mean it was the city of the original Jerusalem. As I'd like to establish another precedent here and tell you that the name is not Jerusalem. The Bible talks about this city, this holy city, and it says that it's called by the name of the designer and creator. You see, Yahweh himself picked out the very spot, and it's not where you think it is. He designed this spot, and he blessed it and gave it a powerful anointing. Now, the Bible says it will destroy the lack of knowledge, and a lot of people are ignorant, but they're willingly ignorant. So we're going to try to tear down those walls of willingly being ignorant and see if there is a text in the Bible that would give us an understanding of exactly where the original city of Jerusalem is. Now, let's just go right up front again, and let me tell you that the name that Yahweh gave the city was after his own name. Now, it's not Jerusalem. It's Yah-rusalem. It's like Israel, Israel. Again, it's not Israel. It is Yael. In the Hebrew, it would be El is Yah. And so we have been, you know, Ra was the Egyptian sun god, and through the pagan influence of Babylon, that people, that city that has set itself a queen that we've talked about, you really need to study the Bible and familiarize yourself with some of the scriptures and see if Yahweh would bless you in understanding. So, again, let's use the word Yah-rusalem, a city called by his name. Now, is it down in a city called Jerusalem? Now, we know that the Bible gives us a indication that where the Messiah himself was crucified, it was called, basically, Sodom. Now, I want to repeat this. It's very important that we get the gestalt here in line. We lay the foundation, the pillar stones of the teaching that there's two cities named, one named Jerusalem, and we'll call the other Yah-rusalem. Now, the Yah-rusalem city was in the north. We're going to prove that. And the Jerusalem city was a Canaanite stronghold. And the Canaanites were never evicted or eradicated from this vicinity of where this city was. In other words, they lived there, and they worked there, and they were principal merchants of that city, and they were hard to conquer. We know that David went in about 1000 B.C., and although he went in there, he didn't conquer them. He just took the city, and he didn't drive them out. Now, this is very strange, that he would not eradicate the Canaanites out of a city that he was going to, number one, make it the official city of Jerusalem. But did he? Is the true city of Jerusalem down at the present day place where we call Jerusalem? We're going to show you that the scriptures indeed proves that it is not. It is not the city that Yahweh chose. Now listen to this one in verse 8. And though dead bodies, this is Revelation chapter 11, I'm going to show you that the present city that they're fighting over, that they call holy, that they say, my grandmother said, well, right there is the effects. They still have the foundation stones of the temple. Nobody's ever proved that. It's not proven that that was the temple that Yahweh chose to put his name there. Matter of fact, it wasn't. Geographically, spiritually, or physically, it was not the place of his appointment or his temple called by his name. And we know that the city or the temple when the Messiah was on earth 2,000 years ago, it was a city the Bible described as not Yahweh's temple. Isn't it strange that they didn't call it Yahweh's temple? They called it after the man that built it. Well, who was he? Well, he was an Edomite. He was a Canaanite. And he was called, if you will, Herod. Now, we know that Herod was an evil man. Why would he dedicate a temple to Yahweh, whom he hated, whom he despised? Unless he wanted to fool the people. Did you know that it 400 years from the book of Malachi in the parchment, between about approximately 430 or 450 years, about the same time that the house of Israel was down in Egypt, representing darkness, spiritually speaking, and when they came out, they adopted the pagan name of Ra, the sun god, and incorporated into their El. And, of course, later, they began to worship Baal and the Baal gods of the region, which was the favorite deities of the Canaanites. Well, it just so happens that this city that we're going to find in Joshua chapter 10, verse 5, I want you to go to the book of Joshua, and we'll read, after I read the 8th verse of the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. The great city. The Amorites inhabited a place called Jebusite, or the Jebusites inhabited a city called Jerusalem. We're going to prove it to you. In Joshua 15:63 and Judges 1:21, all of these will tell you that it was the Amorites, the evil ones. You say, well, that's okay, because, you know, Yahweh's going to send his army in and drive them out. He won't problem. They didn't get them eradicated. They didn't remove them. Like I said, even in 1000 B.C., in the era of the man we call David, he himself could not eradicate the Canaanites. It was a Canaanite stronghold. So then, we're going to examine those three scriptures, Joshua 10 and 5, and Joshua 15:63, and Judges 1:21, and then we're going to move to the other Jerusalem, or in this case, the city of Jerusalem, a city called by his name. Now, this great city of the Jebusites, or the Canaanites, listen what the scriptures of Revelation will tell you about that place where they crucified the Messiah, your Savior, your Redeemer. It was a great city which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Both of those names symbolize darkness and evil. I want to repeat that. Both of these descriptive terms in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 8, depict here and explain to you that it's not a holy city. Far, far, far from it. Yahweh himself, the God in the flesh man of John 1 and 1. The man that hung on a tree, not a cross, of the pagan symbol of Babylon, who glorified his death and merchandised it and waxed rich. And the people behind this are these evil Canaanites called Jews. Now, in Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, in both instances here, it identifies these people that claim to be Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue, or the house, or the building, or the temple. Right there it is. These are out of the temple that Herod built. These are the one that the Messiah engaged in conversation in the book of John, chapter 8, verse 37, when they said they were the seed of Abraham. Now, probably the third segment, we're going to do a series on this. Tonight we're going to deal exclusively on the two cities and separate them, identify them, geographically locate them, give you book, verse, and chapter where they're located, and show you the difference between the two cities, the one that became holy that's not holy, and the other city that was holy that became forgotten and unholy. Nobody talks about this one. I know very few people have been privileged to be around men that taught the same message, same subject, and taught it well, taught it from the original Paleo and the original Hebrew, and brought a lot of revelation to this text that I'm fixing to lay down, the start that I'm fixing to build a foundation of thought process for you, to tell you, just like Bethlehem, there is a real Bethlehem, and then there is a copy, a substitute. Now, they love the substitute. They love the image city, just like here in the 8th verse, it is Sodom, not a holy city. I'm going to go back to the holy city of Jerusalem, and I'm going to see where the Lord was crucified. That way, if you go, they'll call it Sodom. Call it, and that's exactly what it is. It was not the place of Yahweh's choosing. It was not. And this is for the biblical principle of truth. It was not a holy city. It was not a place that he placed his name upon it. These are all imitations. This is the deception of the evil beings who had established this place where he was killed, called Sodom and Egypt. You say, well, I just didn't know what they were doing. Now, let me ask you a question. When they recognized who he was, for he told them who he was, and you know what the reaction was? You've got a demon. No man can come down here and claim himself to be Yahweh. You're blaspheming. You're doing these miracles by Beelzebub. And so then, they even intrigue him, and the Bible exclusively says this, that had they not have known, they would have done it in ignorance. But when it says in the Greek, Father, forgive them not, this is in the 23rd chapter, and the 23rd verse, it says, Father, forgive them not, for they know what they do. Now, when they killed him, they conspired. The Bible will tell you in many places, and I've taught on this before, that they knew he was the heir to the kingdom. He had the keys to the city. I'm talking about the true Jerusalem above, not the one below. Now, when I talk about the one below, I'm talking about the southern place where they built this magnificent temple, Herod, the Edomite, the Canaanite. Why not? It was their hometown. We're going to see that it was their hometown, and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this hometown where they built it up, it is a place of Satan. precedent of a place that would be called holy, and in the Bible, indeed, it is not. Now, let's go back to the book of Joshua. We're going in there, and we're going to go to, it's right after the book of Deuteronomy in the Tanakh. We're going back to the 10th chapter, and I'm going to read for you, and pardon my throat tonight because I'm still suffering some laryngitis. Now, it came to pass that when Aziel-dek, king of Jerusalem, had heard... Now, wait a minute here. When he heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities. I want you to keep that in mind. Now, we're going to prove geographically where it's at. And because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty, therefore, Adonizek, Ziach, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, king of Hebron, and unto Pergam, king of Jaroth, and unto Japhiel, a king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Egon, saying, come, come unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, before it hath made peace with Joshua. Now, Joshua was a, must have became famous. They used his name, synonymous with Israel, and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up with all their host and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Joshua name this city? And the answer is no. It existed before Israel came into this area. Was it a holy city? And the answer is no, it was not. It was not a holy city. What kind of a city was it? Well, we just got through reading it, that it was inhabited by Amorites. Now, the Amorites were notorious because they were mixed with the seed of Cain, and the other inhabited by the Jebusites. This is the same breed. And in Joshua chapter 15, verse 63, notice, let me go there to the 15th chapter and the 63rd verse, and let me read you something very interesting. As for the Jebusites, those that dwelled or inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we're not talking about that present day scenario that you read in the New Testament, where the beautiful temple was built. There was none back there then. This was just a Canaanite city. And the Jebusites, who were Canaanites, dwelled in the land. The children of Judah could not drive them out. Now, I want to repeat this. As before the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the city of Jerusalem. Remember I told you that they were still there 1,000 B.C. 1,000 years they couldn't be eradicated. And when David came, he couldn't remove them. They still dwelled and merchandised in the city. The children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem, functioning. What do you think it's at? You think it's a holy city? You think it's one that Yahweh chose? He said in John 8:44 to these Jebusites, who were Canaanites, who had mixed into the house and the bloodline of Israel through Judah, through his error and transgression with Yeshua in Genesis 38. And we've expounded on that in the Holy Grail. 10 hours of teaching on that subject ought to give you an indication that we've done our homework in this area, and we know what can be read and what can't be read. We know what people think that can be read and can be. And we know what is believed. The general consensus is that Jerusalem is the place that God chose to place his name there. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not so. And this is one of the confounding issues of the mysteries of people that have failed to search the Scriptures. The Bible says search the Scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You don't have any. The Bible says that people will actually do you harm. They'll talk about you. They'll criticize you. They'll write you mean things in their letters of response. I get these awful mean telephone calls from people who don't understand the Scriptures, and you have to suffer with them because they are fighting themselves, they're opposing themselves, and the Bible said hating even the garment that they wear, spotted by the flesh of their evil fleshly understanding. Sodom, Egypt, darkness, spiritually dead, a place of the dead. That city now that they're fighting over, claiming to be holy, the same people that were there in the Jezebite days of the king of the Amorites, of Joshua chapter 10, verse 5, and the land of the Jebusites of Joshua 15:63 that I read in the Bible said they're there at Jerusalem to this day. Christ met them and said, they said, we are the realm's children. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is an allegory that we're going to get into in part 3 of the mystery in the book of Galatians, where we're going to talk to you more about the spiritual city and the city of the bondwoman. The city of the bondwoman is this woman that came in to have fleshly association by Abraham, who had several wives, and the one that he had by the free woman, which was Sarah, which is a dove. We're going to show you the difference between the southern city called Jerusalem and the northern city of Jerusalem at Bethel on Mount Gerizim. We're going to geographically prove the existence. And this is a place where we get into part 2, where we're going to tell you that Jacob went up there at the command of Yahweh, by the way, and told him to anoint that place, and that his name little, small, insecure, or insignificant, if you will, a little tribe, where the scriptures says very little that the Messiah would come from this family and this area geographically, and he would be the Redeemer that would come from beyond Jordan in Galilee at the other Bethlehem of the north, not the Bethlehem of the south. You see, the south has always been at war with the north. And Satan taking his left hand to deceive the right hand. Don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing, or vice versa. That would separate the facts and the fiction. Get the knowledge, and I guarantee you tonight that two-thirds of my listening off. Now, I've got a great Bible studying audience, and I'm not speaking to them in particular, but I'm talking about those who are listening in, maybe perhaps for the first time, or for those who will try to analyze and dissect this message that we post live publicly on oneyahweh.com. This message will be going up there by our postmaster, Brother Bob, and he will post this for you. And you can look at it, and you can examine the scriptures and the text. You can dissect it, and you can try to tear it apart. But if you tear this apart, you would have to tear apart the Bible teaching that one city in the south, we're going to show you geographically where it was at, was inhabited by the Amorites, and one by the Jebusites in Joshua 15:63, and in Judges 1:21. One in the mountain of Mount Gerizim. Now, I want to get into that one and lay you a difference between the two, and we'll talk about it. In Joshua chapter 10, verse 6, we're going to talk about that one that's in the mountain, and we're going to discuss it. Verse 6 now. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp at Gilgal. Now, you know what the word Gilgal means? It means a place of the circle, a place of the worship, a place of the temple. Did you know the temple that is designed in a circle, that there are 12 gates to it? It's confirmed in the book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 4, another scripture. In the text, we will use that one as a guide for you to go and to look how the city was built. How this wonderful, marvelous worship plan of Yahweh in the city of Jerusalem. Again, now, he sent the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not your hand from your servants, come up to us quickly, and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains, I want you to remember this, are gathered together against us. And so Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Now, Jerusalem is higher than Gilgal. And the geographical region, he had to ascend up to the place that today presently we call Jerusalem. That's where the large band of the Amorites and the Jebusites of this city called Jerusalem were together. Now, Joshua didn't name this city. The city at Shechem, which was the original house that Yahweh built and told the Israelites to worship there, it was a city that the Bible called by his name. Now, I want you to remember that. It's a city called by his name. And Yahweh said unto Joshua, fear not, for I have delivered these Amorites and Jebusites Jebusites, Canaanites, into your hand. Thou shalt not a man of them stand before you. And Joshua, therefore, came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. It was an all-night journey from Gilgal, going up to the elevation, ascending, to Mount, what we would call today, Mount Zion. Now, this is a facsimile. It's not the real Mount Zion. It is a place called Sodom. Spiritually speaking, if you can dig it, as my minister of defense would say, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night, and Yahweh discomfort the Jebusites before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them away along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them from Azekai and unto Malkida. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, that they went in the going down into Bethlehem, and Yahweh cast, oh man, this is beautiful, he cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah. Did you know that the region of Jerusalem still has these giant stones that were hurled from space? The land is dotted about. It's very rocky around there for some reason. Could it have been that these great angels went somewhere and armed themselves with some huge boulders and rained them down upon them unto Azekah, and they died? They were more which died with these hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the king of Israel in the day when Yahweh delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said unto them in the sight of Israel, Son, stand by still upon Gibeon. That was a city now. And moon, stay in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. You say, well, nobody can stop the sun. Oh, my. Oh, you of little faith. He that made these laws and designed them and hung the stars in heaven by the works of his hand, I would think that he could probably do that. Is it not written in the book of Jasher, a confirmation in the book of Jasher, that he avenged themselves upon their enemies, and it was written, so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of Joshua, for Yahweh fought for Israel. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp, to Gilgal. And these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Malkida. And was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Malkida. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindermost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities. For Yahweh hath delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass that when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest of which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Malkida in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Now, remember, they didn't kill them all. Some survived. and even today as we speak, in the same general area in a city called Jerusalem. He was named Jerusalem by the king that presided over. He was one of the five. It was his city. It wasn't Yahweh's city. It was Herod's temple. It wasn't Yahweh's temple. It was a place of the Canaanites then. It was a place of the Canaanites at the time of Christ. And it's a place of the Canaanites to this day. And so then the prophecy that Judah could not remove the Canaanites from this city that they inherited themselves. Actually, it was a city of Benjamin in his territory, but the Jews, being prevailing tribe and the big boys, having delivered the 300 and receiving the 300 Benjamites into their house, as they miscegenated in back into the house of Judah, we have what we call today the division of the house of Israel. The 10 tribes to the north and the miscegenated tribe of Judah, Benjamin, to the south. And the place that they call Jerusalem today, it's a place that the Bible, as I have said, in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 8, it is a city of Sodom. Right where Yahweh himself, the King of Kings, the Melchizedek King. In part two, we're going to talk about this city to the north that was placed there and designed by Yahweh. It wasn't designed by the King of Jerusalem. It wasn't designed by the architects of the Amorites or the Jebusites or the Canaanites. It was designed and authorized by Yah himself. It was a city that he said, this shall be the place where I will place my name. Now, it's in the northern territory, and we're going to talk about it in part two. One in the mountains, Joshua 10 and 6, and the other surrounded by mountains, Psalms 125, verse 2. I'm going to review those verses later on. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 15. When the children of Israel conquered, when they entered the land of Israel, in Judges 1 and 8, where I gave you, in Judges 1:21, this city that is called Jerusalem. Here, again, the other was took by King David 300 years later. Now, this other city was taken by King David, and at that time, there were still these Jebusites and these Amorites, or these Canaanites now, mixture, along with the house of Judah, mixed in with the house of Judah, through the miscegenation of Judah and Shua, the Canaanite. We have in Psalms 125, verse 2, and in Nehemiah 8:15, and the children conquered the land in Judges 1 and 8, and the other was took by David, again, some 300 years later, in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7. In 1 Chronicles 11 and 5, it again repeats the feats of King David as he takes this city. Now, there's one that is called Jerusalem that has nothing to do with the ones that I've just read here in Joshua 10 and 5, in Joshua 15:63, in Judges 1:21, and Joshua 10:6, Psalms 125:2, and Nehemiah 8:15, and 2 Samuel 5 and 7, and 1 Chronicles 11 and 5. This is the city where now, today, it is worshipped as the place of God's holy city. But it's not. It's Sodom. It it's Egypt. It's darkness. It's deception. And it's giving you an option. Choose this day who you will serve. Now, the real city is forgotten. The real place of the holy city, where Yahweh chose to first put his name, and had the children of Israel dwelling at Gilgal, the same place that Joshua in Hebrew, that he mounted up from that and went up to the hill, and it's about 2,500 feet above sea level, Jerusalem, and the place where he was at is about 1,800, so he went up. And the Bible is descriptive in its information, true. So then he went up, but the one in Mount Ephraim, now this is what I want to talk about. I really want to get in on this one here. The one that is in Mount Ephraim, which is concerning Genesis 33:18, Genesis 14:18, and Joshua 18:1, and Judges chapter 4:5. It is the city of Ephraim. It is the city of the original Jerusalem, a place called by his name. It is the first worship center that Yahweh designed and had them to build his tabernacle there. In the north, not in the south, as we have assumed, as we have been lied to by the lying pen of the scribes, who are very crafty, as they tricked us in Matthew chapter 2 when he said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. When you need confirmation on that, you can find nowhere in the Bible that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Nowhere. Nowhere in the Bible can you read where he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea, other than Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that the scribes, who were asked the question by Herod that built this temple of the Jezebites, he was an Edomite, he was evil, it was a place of Yahweh, and his choosing. It is a place where Satan and his Sanhedrin court dwelled and held services, making the house of Israel think, and pay tribute, by the way, as they had to come to the southern kingdom of Judah at Jerusalem and worship at a temple that did not, I'm going to repeat this now and we'll confirm it too, did not have the Ark of the Covenant in it. But for over 350 years, nigh unto 400 years, they had made the northern house believe through serving tribute to the southern kingdom, they had to come down and worship at a temple that did not. Now, they offered blood sacrifices, ladies and gentlemen, but it did not have within it, in the holiest of holies, it had a facsimile. It wasn't the real holiest of all. We're going to read you the one it did have, the real one. And we're going to read you where, but it is evident through archaeological digs that they have found, believe it or not, modern Jerusalem's name, which was the place of the king Melchizedek, and it was written to be in the mountain of Ephraim. Jerusalem is located in some of the highest mountains in the region, and it's on top, not surrounded by mountains, and is also just next to Bethel. The mountains from the site of Shechem, Bethel, and modern Jerusalem, they're all on the same mountain range that stretch from Shimron north to Har Hebron south. Just considering the geographical clues Jerusalem is the Jerusalem of King Adoniah, Zach the Amorite, as the temple was Herod the Canaanite, that Joshua fought against and chased to this city, the same city that the king of Jerusalem was over, and killed them here, but didn't kill them completely, did not eradicate them. They fled into some cities, but there was a great slaughter. He kicked their butt real good, but they survived. Even until this day, even in the time of David, and I'll get into the scriptures here in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 5, tomorrow night. You don't want to miss part 2. I'm going to show you that the city in the north, which is called Shechem, which is on the Mount of Bethel, or Mount Gerizim, as the mountain is known, where they had erected at Gilgal a beautiful worship altar for Yahweh, and it's there even unto this day, Joshua chapter 5. Even to this day, it's still there. The evidence of that, the archaeology digs say that this was the original Jerusalem. And we have been led down the primrose path of deception and deceit. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how that we're going to escape the punishment of being deceived. For the Bible said, take heed that no man deceives you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, man has deceived, and man will continue to deceive, and would deceive the very elect if possible. But it's not possible to deceive those who have studied to show themselves a workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. I love men and women that can rightly divide the truth. It is so wonderful to know of righteous men that have studied to make themselves, if you will, giants. My good friend, Brother Russ, would tell you that we see so far because we have stood on the shoulders of giants of the past. I just give you the giants of the past and how that they have conquered and how that they have overcome the serpent and the lie of the serpent, the deception. He's so evil and deceptive. It's like peeling back the layer of an onion. Everything that we've ever almost been told is almost a lie. You know why? Because Satan is a liar and the father of it. He came to kill. He came to steal. And he certainly come to destroy. I'm sponsored tonight, but Dr. Gary, my good friend down in the great state of Mississippi, Brother Paul, a friend up in the great state of Michigan, Dr. Gary is 1-877-289-7439. We need your help. We need your offerings and tithes. We'd like to have more radio time. Would you put Pastor Buddy on the radio 7 nights a week? Might have to take a few of them, but I could do it. If you would do that, if somebody has got the love offerings to send to me, to put me on a couple of more nights. Mark and Audrey sponsors me 2 nights. Dr. Gary and Paul sponsors me the other 3 nights a week. And my brothers and sisters that support and send tithes to me, support me to make me able to do this full time. If you'd like to help me, send your offerings to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You could send them to Dr. Gary also, 1-877-289-7439, or Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. We'd be glad to take your tithes and offerings to help us to preach this gospel. We'll give you more truth per minute than any radio show on the radio. We bring it to you raw. We bring it to you live. We bring it to you with the Word. His great name is above every name. At the name of Yahweh, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You can call me tonight. I'm live here around the world on a Monday night. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 626-2172. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world, Eastern Standard Time at 11 p.m. It's a late night call. But you don't want to miss it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to ask you to set up. We're going to Bethel. We're going up to Mount Gerizim. We're going up to the place of the original temple of Yahweh that has been desecrated and torn down, where not one stone remains. Ladies and gentlemen, but the stones are still there crying out. The digs are proving it. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you and I love you.
Blessed is the man who